We'll start, as we usually do, with a little bit of an overview. Where do we stand to date? As of June 2nd, I guess, we've had 58 argued cases by my count. That number, as you'll see on the slide, is lower than last year, and that's because some of the cases, about half of the cases that were scheduled for March and April, were deferred to October 2020. The court had a May sitting that kept some of those cases, the ones that seemed most urgent to decide this year. We have 36 cases so far, and the sharply divided cases, as is usually the case at this time of year, are relatively a small fraction. We have 5 or 14%, 16 unanimous decisions or unanimous in judgment at 44%. In the lower left of the slide, you'll see sort of a historical perspective on the number of really sharply divided decisions, and we're fairly low at this point. I would expect that number to increase given the identity of the cases that remain to be decided. What about the composition of those sharply divided cases, though? Last term, we had some unusual breakdowns with the Chief Justice, Justices Gorsuch, Thomas, Breyer, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kavanaugh, all joining unusual coalitions or crossing over, as it were, to join and create interesting 5-4 lineups. Well, we don't have all the 5-4 decisions yet, but of the five that we've seen, four of them break down on what you might call the more traditional grounds, with the four more liberal justices in dissent and 5-4 on those grounds. I would not be surprised if that continues, at least for some of the high profile cases that we've seen being argued but haven't been decided yet. So what about that one, the one that wasn't a typical lineup? That was a case called Georgia v. publicresource.org, where the majority was quite interesting. It was the Chief Justices Sotomayor and Kagan, and then Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. The question presented in that case was whether annotations in Georgia, the state of Georgia's official code, its official statutory code, are copyrightable. Caveat being, we represented Georgia in that case. Take a quick look at bird's eye view at the composition of the court's docket. And this slide gives you a rough categorization of the subject matter of the cases. This is more an art than a science, and there are cases that belong in both categories. And we have a slight distinguishing feature this year that the court pushed off, as I said, about 10 cases that would have been argued this spring for the fall. But I think it's a more evenly divided, more broadly divided set of cases. Just to give you a comparison point, I counted 21 business law cases last year. Now we have 13. I counted 13 criminal cases, sort of down to 8. It was a great term for intellectual property lawyers. 7 cases, it's a significant term there. And we talked about one of those, but there were a number of very interesting cases across the different copyright disciplines. In terms of where we are in the pace of overall decisions, this chart shows you the rough trajectory. The blue line is where we are this year. The thick yellow line is last year. So you can see we're roughly maybe a little bit behind, but roughly in keeping with where the court has been in terms of releasing decisions. You can see that a very significant number of big decisions remain to be decided. Some of those, four of them, the last four on that list, were argued only in May. And so when you think just from a workflow and mechanical perspective, two of those cases involve subpoenas for the president's personal financial records and cases argued in the first and second week of May to be decided in full opinions by the end of June is a real quick turnaround. I haven't seen any indication that the court is not going to make its usual traditional end of June deadline for deciding all of cases, but if any year they were going to, this would be one. Talk briefly about what's called the shadow docket before we dive into the court's merits cases for the term. And although the merits cases and oral arguments usually get the most attention in the press and among the bar, this is a portion of the court's docket that I think has become increasingly important in the last year or two. And by shadow docket, we mean things other than cases with plenary briefing and argument. So orders on emergency applications for stays, other kinds of orders, requests for extraordinary relief, like a mandamus to directly to a district court without a case coming through the Court of Appeals. And just from an objective statistical basis, there has been a real shift during the past two or three years in this administration. Professor Vladek had an interesting article in the Harvard Law Review, and he counted, this was as of last November, the numbers are increased since then, 21 applications for stays by the current Solicitor General in 3 years. And that compares to a total of 8 across 16 years for the George W. Bush and Obama administrations. So a really significant uptick. And I think it's interesting to consider both the substantive question of what's going on and what does that mean substantively for the court's jurisprudence, and also to pause and also consider the process questions about what this means for the court's overall operations.